You're listening to the Red Moon Radio Podcast, episode number 17. Today we're talking to members of London, England's Dead Coast. Red Moon Radio is a weekly podcast dedicated to garage, psychedelic, fuzz, and lo-fi, as well as good old-fashioned rock and roll from around the world. We bring you the best new music and interviews, introducing you to your new favorite band. The show is produced every Monday and is available on Podomatic at redmoonradio.podomatic.com and on Stitcher at stitcher.com/red-moon-radio. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching for Red Moon Radio. Follow the podcast on Twitter at redmoonradio1, on Facebook at facebook.com/redmoonradio. Get in touch with us by email at redmoonradio2015@gmail.com and watch for us along with the other music junkies on the website 53rdandthird.com. Links to the bands and extras are available in the show notes on our Podomatic and Stitcher pages, as well as on 53rdandthird.com. Come back often and add us to your favorites. Now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, Erin here. Thanks for tuning into the Red Moon Radio podcast. My interview with the guys from Dead Coast is coming right up. Remember, all previous episodes of the podcast, including our last episode with the Kurova's Milkshake, are available for your listening pleasure on Podomatic, Stitcher, and through iTunes. And don't forget that new episodes are updated on 53rdandthird.com with additional content. Today we're chatting with Luca, Johnny, and Craig, three of the four members of Dead Coast. To get the show started, here's a track from their new LP, Shambolic, which was released in February this year through Anibale Records. You can find the download and order the limited edition vinyl or the CD through their Bandcamp site. The song is called Just Don't Give Yourself.
Yeah.
Today's guests, Luca, Johnny, and Craig, along with the band's drummer Mari, form London, England's Dead Coast. Coming off a four-country tour of Europe, Dead Coast are a garage psych surf band with wide-ranging influences. Shambolic, their debut LP, is filled to the brim with sounds to excite your senses, ranging from organ-driven garage rock and West Coast-inspired surf to almost sinister-sounding instrumentals and psychedelic ballads. I was already a fan of the band after hearing their previous EPs, but with Shambolic, they've taken their sound to new places. It's already gone into heavy rotation in my collection, and I think it will be the perfect soundtrack to summer. I had the pleasure of chatting with the guys, along with their manager David, last week via Skype from London.
Hello to Dead Coast. Thanks so much for joining me today on Red Moon Radio.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
To start off, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves and about your music?
All right, we're Dead Coast. I'm Luke. I play guitar. And next to me is...
I'm Johnny. I play guitar and a little bit of keyboard as well.
I'm Craig. I play bass.
And our drummer, Mari, she's not with us at the moment. She's at work, so...
she's absent.
And now we have our manager with us tonight, David McSherry, the man.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you would define yourselves musically?
Hard workers.
We're kind of psychedelic rock and roll band from London. How else would you describe it?
Basically, it's blues, and then we kind of mix, you know, we put like a bit of, you know, what we know, like African beats, a bit of a jazz, a bit of psychedelic, you know, and British music and West Coast, you know, it's just like, you know, whatever we want to do, we kind of try to do, you know.
And how did the band come about? How did you guys find each other?
Me and Craig, the bass player, we used to play in this band called Revolve at the time, maybe 5 years ago or something. And then we kind of, the band disbanded and me and Craig, we decided to play anyway. And 3 years ago, Dead Coast is born and the recent lineup is just us. We changed like few people and now this is the, I think
it's
that
a pretty
the,
solid lineup right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's a solid lineup right now. It's been like 3 years, like the strongest lineup. Plus we recorded our first LP last year and it came out in February by Annibale Records. It's a record label from Italy, which they're helping us a lot. And that's it.
Yeah.
What's the inspiration behind the name Dead Coast?
It's a difficult one.
No, just nothing. Basically, just like, just a name like another, you know.
It's just a nice image, I think.
Yeah, it can be whatever you want it to be, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not up to us, you know. Just, if you want to think that coast is something that you like to be, it's your choice. Yeah. It's your
I mean, because our music, you know, it's a bit surf sometimes, but then it's a lot darker than that. So, you know, I think it's quite fitting for the music.
There seems to be kind of a fascination in this kind of music with dead things. There's a lot of bands that have dead in their names.
I know, yeah, it's a bit common. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, like...
We were before them, though, so we're the originators.
That's the word sometime, you know, like...
Grateful Dead were before us.
Yeah.
Wait.
A little bit, yeah. What would you say are your biggest musical influences as a group or individually that you bring to the group?
I don't know, it's very, very broad. Like, we listen to a lot of different music from all over the place. A lot of classic rock and roll, psychedelic music from the 60s, modern, like, you know, the modern West Coast scene at the moment. We really like jazz and world music. And we have a lot of different influences, which is why probably the album's quite varied.
Captain Beefheart.
Yeah, we like Captain Beefheart a lot.
Thelonious, even like jazz people, you know, like Thelonious Monk, Sun Ra, for instance. The Doors as well. Kinks, The Beatles.
Beach Boys.
Beach Boys, yeah. The psychedelic period, mainly. We like pop stuff, but even like avant-garde things as well. We don't mind that, absolutely.
So you mentioned your full-length debut album, Shambolic.
Yeah.
Up to this release, you have a couple of EPs from a few years ago before this. How would you say your sound has changed or developed over time?
I don't know. Yeah. It's just, yeah. Basically, we were kind of following the scene here in London. Like, the West Coast has had a major, how can I say that?
Influence.
influence now at the moment. So everybody's kind of play garage, you know, psychedelic, and we were into it as well, you know, and we're trying like to get in the same channel, but then
we
shine
that stuff, but
yeah,
but we want to add something new
just
to
be a little bit recognized, you know what I mean, and try to play
to
more and more.
We really like the whole garage scene and so, you know, the modern thing,
yeah,
but we want to put our own stamp on that.
Shambolic is just an experiment, basically. It's just like we had the first time to be in the studio for 6 days and have fun with it, you know, and we try, there's no rules, there's no like, you know, okay, let's make poppy songs or like guitars. You just like, okay, let's play what we have, let's experiment a bit with different instruments as well, like percussions or toy pianos and theremin, whatever it is, you know, like, let's just, you know, be free. That's the point of it, you know, without having, you know, a kind of a concept thing. Maybe the next one would be a concept, but we still don't know, basically. But, you know, that's why the name is Shambolic, because it doesn't have any... we took it as a soundtrack, like a movie soundtrack, you know. I was personally into this kind of thing. So, you know, like every scene changed music, you know, and it's just the way it's been built, basically, Shambolic. You have Flutro, which is a tribal track, and then you have Jenny Loves the Sun, which is a psych pop tune, or you know, you have ballads, you know, why not, you know, let's have a ballad, you know.
You just mentioned Jenny Loves the Sun, and that's one of the videos that you created as well.
All ourselves.
You did it all yourselves?
Yeah, we didn't have money to pay any director.
It's a great video. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek and funny. Can you tell us a little bit about it, how that came about, the story?
We were very lucky to have our friend Tommy, who doesn't mind wearing
a
dress.
Actor, yeah.
So yeah, we're very lucky to have
and
Tommy.
He loves to be a girl, actually, sometimes.
He was
like, dressing like a girl. It was great. The idea was like kind of put to, we were like thinking about a couple of movies, like one from Roman Polanski, which is the Tenant, and the other movie was Silence of the Lamb. And we kind
really?
Of, yeah, you don't know, I know that. We kind of tried to mix both, you know, like this character that is kind of wanted to be, he's obsessed, you know, with his girlfriend, maybe, you know, and he thinks she left him, and he just like, I don't know, man, he crazy stuff, crazy, like, you know, mental things, you know, sometimes like, plus, you know, Tommy, our friend, is very funny, and we had so much fun that day, so it was worth to do it, you know, and shooting on our own way, you know.
And you also have a video for Hills Made of Sand, right?
Yeah. That was the first one. We filmed it in Brighton on a freezing cold day in, when was it?
October.
Yeah, really freezing cold.
It was an interesting day. It was raining a lot, but we were all sea animals, so, you know, we were in our element.
Spent a day in Brighton.
Like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun day, but I was very wet and cold by the end of it. And a bit miserable. It looked great, so it was all worth it.
We'll be right back. sand over the ceiling. Oh yeah, I left my lamp while I was sleeping so well.
Bit about the recording process for Shambolic, and did it differ from previous recording processes? What do you usually do when you write and record?
I guess we have more time this time.
Yeah,
there's a big difference. Where with the EPs we've done in maybe a day or two.
2 days, yeah.
Whereas this time we had
six days.
Yeah, nearly a 4 week, I guess, to actually.
That was
work
a really good
tracks.
Thing to do. Yeah.
Work on the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's the main difference, right?
Yeah, it's just like you're in a studio with loads of instruments, you know, and the environment is different. It's not like we recorded Seven Deadly Children in this garage, and there were just like mattress and one drum, couple of amps, you know, and in the studio instead we had like a piano, a toy piano, professional mics, you know, like, and this guy Sid Camp, which he helped us a lot, you know, like about with the sound, we helped him as well, like we both like were very collaborative, how'd you say that? And yeah, it's different environment, you know, like you're more like into it. I don't know how to explain that, you know. You see where the guy, the engineer, is like there in the other room looking at you and say, okay, you can go, you know. And I don't know, it's just different kind of a situation. Plus we had more days to record, so we stayed there for every day for almost 24 hours, you know, like we slept there as well, like, you know, we had some ideas, okay, let's put it there, let's put it down, you know. We try, and, you know, when it worked, otherwise, just, like, threw it away.
Well, I think it worked. It sounds like it worked.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Which one is the song you like the most?
I think, what's it called? ESP?
ESP, yeah.
When I heard that song, it really grabbed my ear.
Yeah, cool, thank you.
But, you know, honestly, the whole album I really enjoyed. So that one just is the one that kind of hooked me in that moment.
I think that's going to be our next single, right, David?
Certainly is.
Excellent. Excellent.
You heard it first.
All right. Well, then I guess I'll have to play it on the show.
I have to, yeah.
Are music lovers, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not only, we like politics as well.
Oh yes.
We like all the shit things that happen around us, you know. Not just music.
Uh-huh.
And they put everything to music, you know.
Yes. I also like politics. Maybe we can talk about that after the interview.
Yeah, so Craig is the man for politics.
All right.
we're talking about after the podcast.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Sucks. what is your preference for listening? Like, what do you guys buy? Do you buy a vinyl or a cassette?
Craig works in a very good record store. North London. You know, and we all buy a lot of vinyl records. Everything's streamed nowadays, which makes it really easy. But you know, you can't hold on to it, which is not great. We all collect vinyls. So yeah, we like that a lot. No, I don't have any CDs anymore. Yeah, it's either vinyl or just streaming. So
it's such a different world, music now compared to even 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, it's changed a lot, hasn't it?
We like the fact as well that the vinyl is coming back as the tape as well. You know, like, it's a good thing because it's like, it's, I don't know, man.
You can hold it.
You can have it, you know. I don't believe anymore in streaming shit like that.
The thing about
know?
Streaming is that it's just
boring, yeah.
It's not actually, it doesn't really exist in a way.
Yeah.
It's just on a computer screen. It's not really a physical thing you can hold. And
like pictures,
it's
like.
It's not something you can collect or really, you know, feel proud of owning because you don't really own it. That's the problem with streaming.
Yeah.
I know it's very easy and really accessible and you can listen to anything you want, really. You can just search for it, but it's nothing physical to really own with streaming.
Not quite the same.
No.
Although you guys are on Spotify, so you've embraced it.
I was about to say that.
I said that.
Well, you have to compromise yourself sometimes, Spotify. Having the devil next to you. Yeah, basically we don't give a shit about anything. So let's go with the flow, you know.
Sure. And the reason that I found you initially was through Bandcamp. So again, you know, those services are useful, but it is to have that in your hand is different. It's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. If it's more tactile, you know, physical.
So you talked a little bit about the music scene in the UK and in London specifically. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's going on in London?
That's good. Yeah, there's a lot of
bands now. Yeah,
loads going. There's a lot of bands playing at the moment
compared to 3 years ago, which there were nothing. Was nothing, you know. Now there are more bands, especially from America, coming here and Europe as well. You know, there's loads of bands. So if you want to go out and look at,
to be honest, it's a bit difficult to play in London. Perhaps because there's so many bands.
Yeah,
there's such a huge concentration. Like everyone wants to play in London. And it means it's really difficult to get your voice heard, you know.
Yeah, we had to go in Europe. Like
we just went on tour, and it was actually much more successful
much,
than
playing
in London.
Yeah, very much successful.
Maybe just because
I don't know.
I don't know why. Maybe because there's just less bands.
So you were in tour in France and Switzerland and Belgium.
And Holland as well.
And Holland as well. How did the tour go? What was the response?
Great. Yeah, it was awesome, yeah.
It was very successful. Yeah, it was really good. We enjoyed it, people enjoyed it, they bought records, and, you know, like...
We sold lots of vinyls as well.
Yeah,
it was
really good. It, like, it makes you feel like you want to continue, you know, go, like, in this way, you know what I mean? Like,
I didn't really want to come home, to be honest.
Yeah.
Was that your first tour in Europe, or have you toured before?
We did another one 2 years ago, but after the Seven Deadly Children. It was the third one, right? Yeah. No, after Seven Deadly Children, we went on tour, like, 10 days around Europe, and nobody knew us at the time. Not even now, but, you know, at the time, completely, like, we were unknown. And this time, the album has been pushed a little bit more, so people, they came to see us, like, to watch the band, you know, like, and buy the record. So, yeah, it was more successful, this one, compared to the last one.
This recent album, Shambolic, was released through Annibale? Is that how you pronounce it?
Annibale. I'm the Italian one, so I know.
Right, exactly.
Annibale.
Annibale Records.
Annibale. Like, you have to, like, play a bit with the hands and do, like, yeah, exactly, yeah.
How did you hook up with the guys from the label?
We're old friends. The guys are in a band called Godzilla, who are an Italian garage band, and they started their own record label, you know, and we're old friends. So, you know, it was kind of a joint venture. It was their first release, it was our first album, so we thought we'd try it all together. It's been, you know, pretty successful so far, I think.
It's nice to have someone who can work with you.
Yeah. And we're all friends as well, so you know, it's nice to do together.
Can you tell me a little bit about the artwork for the album?
We found it. I
was in this place in London called the Shackwell Arms. There were some people exposing their... I don't want to say that. Exposing like their artwork and stuff.
An exposition.
Exposition, exactly. And just met this guy, right? His name is James Burgess. And he had the cover right there, the designer said, man, I need that, you know, for our first LP. And he was like, oh, all right. it's all right, how much you want, and that's it, you know. And he gave us the cover, and yeah, he's a really talented guy. He's really good though. He did. I really like that, you know, it suit the music, suit the you know, the time we're in, you know. If you want, that's the Dead Coast, you know, like this place somewhere in maybe another planet, if you want, you know. So that cover suit the band and what we wanted to do.
It's a great image, and it does suit the band, absolutely.
It really represents the band, you know. It's a bit, I mean, it doesn't exactly look like it's on Earth, but I mean, it's got the palm trees and everything, yep. But it looks a little bit alien and a little bit, you know, like another dimension in a way.
Okay, so you talked about the cover of the album. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you guys play any cover songs?
We used to play
Backdoor Man.
The Abigails as well. Mystery Train by Elvis Presley. But it was like we weren't that close at the time.
The Abigails.
The Abigails as well. Do you know this band, The Abigails?
I do, yeah.
Used to play one of their songs.
Satan Taps My Head.
Satan Taps My Head. And whatever, let's see. Not many cover, though.
We don't do any. No.
If you could do any cover song, is there anything that you would like to do?
Shit. Yeah, it's a song by the Beach Boys called Malibu Sunset. Actually, it's not by the Beach Boys. It's like produced by Brian Wilson, and it's sung by Glenn Campbell. So it's a really nice ballad. I want to cover that, but I don't think our manager wants to. So he's looking at me really like weirdly. I'm gonna fucking kill you after this. You, Craig? Abjects, maybe.
Yeah, maybe Abjects. Yeah.
Yeah. Local band.
Any Abjects song. They're all great. So, yeah, that's my
Johnny.
Job.
My Lost Prophets would be.
No, shit.
And you also picked some music from bands that you enjoy. Can you tell us a little bit about what you chose?
So, I went for Slim Customers, who are London based band.
They're in Australia right now.
They're in Australia right now. Yeah.
They're from London, yeah.
They had, I think, their first album out last year. I think it's on Bandcamp and stuff.
Check them out.
Definitely check them out. They're great. And yeah. Johnny?
I chose The Growlers, Empty Bones, because it's just a great song. And we were really into the West Coast scene when it was all kind of kicking off. And I think that's probably I think that's just like a brilliant song. And we were really influenced by the West Coast stuff. Like we moved on a bit. That was a big influence for us.
I think I said Cream of the Young by the Fat White Family. I think it's one of the best bands at the moment. I really like them a lot. I like their attitude. I like, you know, their songs, their songwriting. And it's a really, really good song. It's like live and in studio, it's that two different kind of vibes, you know. In the studio, song is more like electronic with this drum machine, drum bit. The live is more like rock, more like, you know, rock and roll. Yeah, it's one of my favorite bands in the moment, like together along with other bands, of course. But yeah, and I love that tune since it came out, Cream of the Young.
Speaking of how sounds are different in the studio versus live, on this album you have all these extra instruments that are not necessarily part of your repertoire, like a toy piano. How do you produce these sounds, or what do you do live differently?
There are some tracks that we can't play live. There are a couple of tracks in the album that
we tried rehearse them in studio, but you know, they're more like
album songs.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you cannot replicate that sound in a live show. In a live show, you need to have something more like punchy, more like, I don't know.
And then in the live set, we have songs which aren't on the album as well, don't we?
Yeah, or a bunch of old tunes as well.
Yeah, but I mean because there was lots of different sort of strange instruments as well, you couldn't really do it live, to do it just as live. So the album's one thing, and the live thing is another thing, I think.
It's a good thing as well, because, you know, seeing all the bands, I never seen any bands play an instrumental song in their set. They're like singing their song, you know what I mean? There's no any instrumental, you know, just instruments, you know? So this is what we're doing,
So we play like the bossa.
We play bossa for Stanley live. We're trying to... I'd like to play some instrumental more like, you know, but they don't allow me to, especially Craig. There are some songs, some instruments you can do, and other you need to practice, or you want to reach that the same sound you had in the studio, but it's quite difficult, you know. It's a bit hard, you know.
For sure. Do you have any upcoming shows to plug?
Yeah, we're supporting this band from New York called Dirty Francis. They're playing in London on the 26th. Of May at the Nambuka in Holloway Road.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're looking forward for that show.
Yeah, if I was there, I would go.
Oh, thank you. You're a guest list.
Thanks. Well, I want to thank you all for joining me today so much. It's been really interesting talking.
Thank you.
Before we go, can you tell people how they can find you online, how they can connect with you? I know you've got a variety of social media sites.
Facebook, Twitter, buy stuff. We've got Bandcamp, Spotify,
iTunes,
Big Cartel,
exactly.
But I guess Facebook is the most direct contact.
Yeah. Nice. YouTube as well, if they want to watch our first singles.
Thanks again, you guys. It's been a pleasure, and I wish you lots of luck with the new album. I'm enjoying it a lot, and I know others will too.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks again to Luca, Johnny, and Craig for speaking to Red Moon Radio. It was great to meet the band and chat. And a shout out to the band's drummer, Mari, who couldn't be with us for the interview. And thanks to David, the band's manager, for setting it all up and joining us too. During the interview, the guys shared some of their favorite songs with us, including another amazing London band, Slim Customers, from their album, Mortlake Milk, with A Girl That Can Kill, as well as one of my all-time favorite bands, The Growlers, from their sophomore album, Are You In or Out, with Empty Bones, and the fantastic Fat White Family with Cream of the Young from their album Champagne Holocaust. We also heard a couple more songs from the band themselves, including the first two singles from the album, Jenny Loves the Sun and Hills Made of Sand, as well as one of my favorites from the new album, ESP. Dead Coast has a diverse sound which has developed over the course of several years and releases. As we heard in the interview, in addition to Shambolic, the band has two EPs, 2012's White Crosses and 2013's Seven Deadly Children. Let's hear a bit more of what they have to offer, starting with She's Living in the Sun from the White Crosses EP. We'll also hear a couple of tracks from Seven Deadly Children, Mystic Rider, and Night is the Time.
She loves me when I'm drunk.
Stuff. Before we wrap up the show, here's a couple more songs from their new album, Shambolic. We're going to hear Overcome and Ask the Dust.
Your face. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And to end the show, here's one more new song from Shambolic, one of my favorites, Our Sorrow. Thanks so much to the guys of Dead Coast for joining me on this week's episode of Red Moon Radio. And thanks to you for tuning in. Until next time. I can't.